Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Today we turn once again to the fifth chapter of Peter's first epistle, reading this morning verses 10 and 11. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God. In the name of the Lord God, who said, I know the plans that I have for you, plans for welfare and not for evil. Dear friends in Christ, human plans, as we've noted, often have unintended consequences, and sometimes, sadly, those consequences can be far-reaching and tragic. Witness the so-called Duplessis effect in Canada. In 1940, Roman Catholic institutions, particularly hospitals and orphanages, began to receive subsidies from the Canadian government. So much per child, so much per patient. But there was an important discrepancy in which each psychiatric patient received more than twice as much money as each orphan child. Quebec Governor Maurice Duplessis wanted to provide more resources for children. So he did something that seemed like a good idea at the time. He had all the orphanages redesignated as mental hospitals, and all the orphan children diagnosed as mentally ill. There was now a lot more money for children, but the passing years revealed a nightmare of unintended consequences. Schooling for the children stopped, and psychiatric treatment began. The children now became residents of large, anonymous mental institutions, and there was much abuse at those institutions. Many perfectly normal children ended up struggling for the rest of their lives to overcome the stigma of being labeled mentally deficient. Outcomes so extreme and devastating that the governor's name would forever be associated with big programs that have bad unintended results. So we've been asking the question, is it possible even to have plans for your future life and get all the intended consequences and none of the unintended? Yes, it is, if those plans come from God, because our gracious God doesn't make mistakes like that. Ergo, our theme, God's intended consequences. And here's the third outcome you can utterly rely upon. Endure suffering, and God will establish you. The last part of Peter's message in chapter 5 might just be the hardest for us to swallow. Peter says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That might not be exactly what you want to hear when you're going through a stretch of suffering in your life. Imagine if you were sick and someone sent you a card that said, best wishes for your eventual recovery, but not until you suffer a while first. You might not be too happy about that. Because our prayer is always that God would remove the suffering immediately, isn't it? But that's not always the best thing for us spiritually, and our Lord knows that. Don't act like this is something strange, Peter said earlier. This is an intended consequence. This is what the Christian life is. It's challenges and trials and hardships and sometimes, yes, suffering. Does the Bible say we must, through many beds of roses and much smooth sailing, enter into the kingdom of heaven? No. What the Bible says is this: we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes the Lord allows us to go through his chastening, to go through suffering in our lives, to discipline us and strengthen our faith, to kick out the crutches, as Professor Sullivan so aptly put it last Tuesday. Its purpose is to draw us closer to the Lord and lead us to rely solely upon Him. We don't always see it that way, do we? Suffering is hard. In fact, in your suffering, you may be tempted to jump to the conclusion that the Lord hates you and is punishing you, when, of course, that can't be true. In fact, we know from God's word that the opposite is true. Scripture says, "Whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and disciplines every son whom He receives." There was punishment for your sin, of course, an awful and a fearful punishment. But God in His mercy decreed that that punishment should fall not on you, but on your Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Yes, all the punishment fell on Jesus. And now all that's left for you is the grace and the peace and the salvation. And if God does allow suffering to come into your life, you can rest perfectly assured that it's no more than the chastening hand of a loving Heavenly Father who always applies just the right discipline in the lives of His children who are so dear to Him. So what's Peter saying? In effect, he's saying, hang in there. When suffering comes, endure it in patient hope. For this is another of God's intended consequences. After you have been disciplined by hard times, God promises to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The picture is that of a foundation of a building that's laid down firmly and correctly, that is solidly founded, established so it won't be shaken, but will endure forever. Though, of course, you won't have to endure forever. The Apostle Paul says, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Our true life, our eternal life, lies hidden with Christ in heaven. It was the poet Robert Burns who once said, "The best laid schemes of mice and men gang aft agley." Can't do the Scottish accent very well, but I think you get the point. We are frail humans, and our actions, well intended as they may be, very often have unintended and undesirable consequences. Our plans often fail. What a comfort to know that God's plans never do. What a relief to realize that the big things in your life, the important things, can't gang agley. For all the consequences that God wills for your life are intended, and they're all good. Peter's taught you a few of them. Humble yourself, God will exalt you. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Endure suffering, and God will establish you. But if three things are too many to recall, then maybe you can just remember one, because, of course, the best intended consequence of them all lies in the simple words of Paul to the Philippian jailer: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Amen." We sing the first three stanzas of hymn 756.